This is the one left over from last week. Hi, Pastor Tim. I viewed several of your sermons, talks, and they have been tremendously helpful for me in many practical ways in the Christian life. I'm 36 years old, currently single. So get that? 36 years old, currently single. I've had two long-term relationships in the past, and though I did not always follow the wisdom of Scripture in these relationships, by the grace of God, I have remained pure in terms of sex. This is, of course, not to say that I've been truly pure in my thought life. I dated my second girlfriend for 2 years, knowing that she did have a past and was not a virgin. I did my best to overlook this, since she was a Christ-loving girl. And in the eyes of God, she was redeemed in Christ and cleansed from her sins. However, there was always a backdrop of sadness in my heart when I was with her, knowing that she had shared such intimacy with another person, and eventually the relationship ended because ultimately I decided that I wanted to wait upon God to reveal another person to me who has kept her purity. I don't have any regrets about the decision that was made at that time, but now it's been almost 10 years since that last relationship, and though there have been many potential relationships along the way, I refrain myself from getting close to a girl if there was any doubt about her past or her views on purity before marriage. However, recently I became very close to a girl, and our relationship had all the elements of potential romance. But again, it turned out that she did have a past, and though it was painful and heartbreaking, I ended the relationship pretty quickly because I knew all too well from my previous relationship where this would be headed. As I get older, I'm starting to wonder if I am being reasonable with my standards on purity, and if it is really right for me to continue to wait upon God to reveal such a girl to me. I have to admit that being single is very difficult, in that my fleshly desires are definitely there, and so is the temptation to let my inhibitions go. I wonder if it is even possible in the current age to find a girl I'm attracted to who has kept her purity. In discouraging times, sometimes I wonder if I would be more understanding and compassionate, and therefore more accepting of a girl with a past, if I had a past myself. Is it right and reasonable for me to continue waiting upon God to reveal such a woman to me, or am I just being obsessive or even legalistic with this standard of purity? Now, before he says, am I being obsessive or even legalistic? What do you do with those two terms? What does obsessive mean?
Obsessed with the idea?
Yeah, maybe obsessed with the idea that I've got to have this kind of girl and I'm obsessed with it. And in which case, maybe a good word might be idolatry. Now, legalism, define legalism. There's two primary ways that we use it in the Christian context.
See, imposing a standard that cannot dogmatically be taught from the Scriptures.
Imposing, but you want to catch that word. For somebody to be legalistic doesn't mean that they have a standard for themselves that may be higher than what God gives. People have a right to do that. You become legalistic when you begin to demand that others adhere to it. What's the other way that we use legalism in Christianity?
Saved by works.
Right. The basic idea that we're required to do more than believe and repent in order to be saved. You've got some kind of law keeping or something. So I would say this. There's nothing in what he says that seems to indicate that he's insisting that this is a standard that other people have to meet. I think his word obsessive may be a greater concern. Is there some kind of idolatry here? But I'm going to throw it at all of you. What would you say to him?
Seems a little self-serving.
What's that?
This idea that the other person, he's looking for this model purity in this person, but it's almost like at the same time, I know it's not apple, or it's not the same, apples, oranges, but he's talking about thought life being pure and all these things, but having this standard for this other person to be as pure as he wants them to be.
If you were talking to him, would you tell him that you think that he's wrong?
I would ask him why. Why do you want someone that
doesn't have a past? Pastorally, I know this. That when you get a couple that come together and one is a virgin and the other isn't, does that create problems? Yes. I think every example I know of, it's created a problem. Why? Because the one who's the virgin feels like, they've gone through with it. They haven't taken the position that this guy has. But is there a sense of hurt, a sense of this person has had intimacy with somebody else? Yes, there is that. Does that trigger something? Well, yes, if you love that person, the fact that they've been with somebody else, you've got this sense of they've been defiled or something, even if, the person was lost at the time, there's still a sense. They've experienced this, the closest intimacy that men and women can have. This person I'm wanting to marry has already had that with somebody else. Does that create conflict, struggle, jealousy? Does that create something in... Yes. Every single time it does. I can't imagine that it wouldn't. That doesn't mean that the grace of God doesn't allow them to go ahead and get married and have that person just really forget about it, and it's not an issue, and as they go on, it's...
I would think that as long as he's not like judging those individuals, he could continue to keep his standard at that point. But I feel like at age 36, it would be hard to find a 36 or that age that hasn't had a past if they've been saved later in their years.
That's not true.
Or, like I said, he could keep praying and waiting, and the Lord may bless him with that. But just to look at the statistical, how long, or just people being saved at maybe a later age. Even in a very young age, people have just done a lot of things. So it'll be very hard, but it's not impossible.
Jacinda had something.
If he has already admitted to impure thoughts, hasn't he already broken what Jesus has called adultery in the heart in Matthew 5?
Yes, but we would all recognize that somebody struggling with thoughts and somebody actually going through with the action is definitely different.
It is different. But being a Christian, he would have to wrestle with that. He would have to come to the terms, but at the end of the day, that this woman has not had intimacy with anybody else. But in her heart, she's lusted after all these men.
Well, let me ask you this. If 20 years goes by, and... Selah's 24, 25 years old, and you were to hear that James, that one of the criteria he had in a young man marrying his daughter is that he desired that the young man be pure. Would you count that a good thing or a bad thing? Reasonable or unreasonable?
That'd be reasonable.
Reasonable. And so, would you say that James having that desire for his daughter and this guy having that desire for himself, do you see that different?
I don't see it different. But if he's continually turning away actual Christians that have been redeemed for 10 years, then it becomes different.
So for 10 years. So if we actually go for 30 years, and now Seal is 35... and James is still insisting.
I want the man to be born again, no matter what his past.
Right, and I'm putting a standard in his mouth that he may not actually...
Not my standard.
Right.
And what matters is the present purity. Is the person a true Christian? There's a lot of virgins who are self-righteous and lost who I wouldn't want my daughter to marry. So
it's just not a very charitable, I think, outlook to go along to initiate a relationship and already knowing that that person had a past, to kind of carry that out for X however long to carry out the relationship, knowing, oh, that, well, that's not what I want. You know, it just seems like tow them along, the woman involved, and that just seems, yeah.
I mean, she's not making present godliness the most important standard. Right.
No, he's not.
And
he even described this one girl as a Christ-loving girl.
Right.
And yes, when I went in pursuit of a wife, what I wanted more than anything else was a wife that feared the Lord. That, and I have a feeling that he would say yes. That's high up there. But yes, it is like this virginity thing is in a higher place. I would just say this to him. You know, when you're 22, you may have a standard that, yes, I mean, a young lady, or even a father for that matter, when the daughter's 22, could, I mean, look, if you were to ask James, would he prefer that the guy be godly and a virgin over against godly and not one? Well, yes, he would prefer that. Obviously, he would prefer that. But, you know, as we get older, some of the criteria that we may have established in the beginning, well, as we watch those years go by, I mean, the reality is this. Can he keep this standard? He has the right to do it. He has the right to do it and it not be legalism. I mean, if he really feels that that is the standard that he wants, what he has to ask himself, the reality is he had a godly young lady that he actually was attracted to that he could have married 10 years ago. And he would have lived the last 10 years married. And the reality is by now he'd be long over the fact that she wasn't a virgin when they married. It's his choice. I think what he's got to ask himself is he really so committed to this standard that he's willing to, A, not possibly get married for another 10 years, or B, never get married? I mean, the truth is, God just simply may not bring him exactly what he's looking for. To go to the Lord and say, Lord, I want an excellent wife according to Scripture. That is a very reasonable thing to pray for. But when your demand is godliness is secondary, but I want her, before she was even a Christian, I want her to have lived a certain kind of life, and if she didn't, then that doesn't pass my standard. The truth is, God may not actually give that. And you know the thing that's so glorious about Scripture is such were some of you, but now what were they? Washed, sanctified, set apart for God, and they were justified, which means there's no guilt on their record. These people are clean. I think one of the things we have to ask him, perhaps, is what are you afraid of? I mean, is it, what exactly is the fear? Because the reality is, that title, Such Were Some of You, describes him too. Now, he may not have been sexually immoral, perhaps, but he may have been full of pride, self-righteous, hypocrite. I don't know what he was. But he was something before he was converted too. What was he? He was a sinner. You know, one of the interesting things that I found is just, I don't even know how this thought came to me. I think it was because I got thinking about Rahab. But you know what's interesting? The four women mentioned in the genealogy in Matthew 1, not a single one of them was a virgin when they got married. You say, how do you know that? Think about the four. Who were they? Who? Tamar. Tamar was who?
The wife of Judas'
sons. The wife of two of Judas' sons. Judah's sons. And you remember what happened to them? They both died. God killed them. And then she came and played the prostitute. She wasn't a virgin when she conceived. Do you remember which one of her Perez was in the Christ lineage? Who's, okay, that's one, Tamar. Who is the other?
Ruth.
Ruth was not a virgin when she married. She had already had a husband. Now, and I recognize that there was purity there in the sense that, what was it, Ahimelech? Is that his name? But she was married to Naomi's son. He died. She would eventually marry Boaz, but she wasn't a virgin. Who else do we have?
Rahab
the harlot. She was not a virgin. And who's the other one? Bathsheba. That was not pretty. And so it's just interesting to me that the four women that God brings in, expressly calls out, they all had wives. All the lineage was born of women. And yet, out of all the women, God calls out four by name. None of those four were virgins. None of those, I find that very interesting. Why would I go there? Just like such were some of you. Because I would say this, that the reality is, if God is able to take somebody like Rahab and totally turn her into a believer and turn her around and put her in Christ's lineage, I just don't... If your greatest desire is to get the godliest woman you can, and you came across the godly woman, but she had a past when she was lost, or even a past as a Christian, but it's like James said, what he wants to know is, where are they now? And that's really what's most important. I guarantee you this, you get yourself a wife who may not be a virgin, who may have had a past, such were some of you, maybe sexually immoral, but she is altogether an excellent wife now. That is going to make you a far better wife than finding this one that is a virgin, but maybe she's not so excellent in character now.
But I don't think his standard is bad. I think that's okay if that's what... I mean, of course, he may not ever marry, you're right.
It's but okay.
It's because there are some that are still virgins, even at 30 and 36, whatever. I mean, that's okay. You know?
It's okay if he wants to set that standard for himself. I just think it's not... It's not wise to put virginity above godliness.
I
don't think, I think in, you know, when looking for a spouse, obviously we all have criteria in what we're looking for. And we all have to think about what are the most important criteria. And we have to rank those things. And I know. I've told Ruby, I mean, I had a blueprint in my mind of what I was looking for. And it was based on Scripture. It's what Scripture said about the godly woman. And anyway. Anything else anybody want to mention on that?
You know, when we talk talking about an excellent wife who can find, and you look at Proverbs 31, from what I know of that chapter, it's not like that's inserted there.
Right.
Like that's not one of the qualifications in that chapter where he's telling his son to find a woman who has no past.
Right.
You know, from years ago, there's a text, especially the way it reads in the King James Version, from Joel, that says that God will restore what the canker worm has eaten. Have you ever heard that text? That has often stood with me. Because sometimes we feel like, oh, you know, people's lives are so wrecked. Can it ever be restored? Or this is that. You know, what's the picture? The picture is of pestilence coming in and just wiping out the crops. But God is saying, I can restore all that. In other words, I can make it look like that never even happened. And I think that that God who spoke those words meant us to glean spiritual realities far more than physical realities. Can God take a man and a woman who have an impure past, or one of them has an impure past, and bring them together and restore what the cankerworm has eaten so that it's more beautiful than imaginable? Look, what makes a marriage beautiful is God's touch. And I just have to think, when he throws Bathsheba out there and he throws Tamar out there and Rahab, I mean, that's that like great hope for sinners in that. What time do we have?